Our text for this evening shall come from the Gospel of Luke and verse 24, which we read earlier. And the title for our sermon this evening is We Perish, We Perish. And in my preparation for this message, I initially started with that famous verse, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my thoughts were drawn to this question, to this matter of perishing. And I was thinking about that mighty blessing which is granted to those who are given the ability, as John 3:16 says, that great mercy of never perishing, of almost being unable to perish. So I started in John 3:16 in my thoughts, in my meditations. But then I was drawn to this passage in Luke 8:24 of this simple but yet such a potent word which the disciples raised to the Lord Jesus, and they said to him, Master, we perish. And this great cry, it was a cry, I'm sure it was, this great cry has become our text, our title and our text for this evening. And the Greek word in the two texts is the same word, so we are on good ground. And it means to be fully destroyed. And or you could also say to be entirely lost. So how does this apply to us today? Are we, or in what ways are we perishing today? So a first heading for us can be ways we are perishing today. And we could consider the various types of temporal perishing, which we can clearly see in our society today. Things are being fully destroyed. Things are being entirely lost in our everyday society and our commonplace lives. We are all aware of the physical perishing, which is happening at this very moment in Ukraine, for example. And it's difficult to know which news sources to take and to rely upon when it comes to reporting the number of casualties. But it seems that tens of thousands of lives are lost every month. Tens of thousands of lives are being lost, and their lives are being destroyed, and their souls as well likely are being entirely lost as well. And there is war not only in Ukraine but also in Sudan at this very moment in time, the Congo, Syria, Palestine. There's always mortars and rockets going off. Myanmar, and so many other smaller conflicts and situations. There is much physical perishing going on. But if we think about society in general, a bit of a light point, but it shows where we are. Even in the sports world, all this confusion with transgender athletes, and now we see the governing bodies trying to resist and trying to counteract the imbalances and the unfairness. But you could say there is a bit of a diminishing or a destruction even in the sports world, and notably to the women. Actually, it's the women who primarily suffer or are knocked back because of these things. And then culturally, or if we can call these things cultural, we see the decay and the rottenness, which is so endemic in cultural media. So I'm speaking of the music scene and television. And I'm not too familiar with what goes on in the arts world, but the levels of degeneration which we see in these cultural media on TV and with the music, and we hear of and we read of such immoral things, becoming commonplace, becoming normal. And they are even being promoted, they are even being encouraged. And that such like behavior is acceptable and reasonable. So there is a perishing there. And then relationally, between people, there is more coldness in our society. There is a lack of love more and more as in our society, as is predicted, as we approach as is prophesied, as we approach the end of time. We have recently had the no-fault divorce being sanctioned and approved, and what a disaster! Historically, that barrier which was there to cause people to think again, there was a barrier which would force people to make that bit of extra effort and to try a little bit more. But now they're just allowed to, with no curbing, with no protection, they're just allowed to go off. And a last example, next month is so-called LGBT Pride Month, and you can already see strong campaigning in the various media and so on, and they're pushing more and more they're indoctrinating these agendas, these things, more and more, and they vilify anyone who says anything to the contrary, anyone who tries to argue against these things. I saw a Westminster City refuse collection truck, and emblazoned on the side was an incredible slogan: "Get pride into the community." What a thing to write! Get pride into the community. So with all these terrible things going on in our society, we can be alarmed. We can be alarmed, and we put ourselves into the mind of these disciples here in Luke 8:24. "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water." And they were experienced seamen, they were experienced fishermen, and a storm of such tremendous proportions and terribleness arose on the Sea of Galilee. And the waves in the sea are so violent, and the water is surging into their little vessel, and they really are at great risk of being submerged and capsizing. So they cry out, "Master, Master, we perish." And when we look at our society today, we have all these various ways which I've just touched upon of crashing waves and surging waters. And these will cause our society, these will cause our families, these will cause we ourselves to drown and to die and to be fully destroyed and entirely lost. It is not all doom and gloom, but we must say there's positive things happening and progress in various aspects of our society. But from a moral perspective, we see this perishing. And so we cry out, "Master, Master, we perish." And we could very profitably consider this verse from the viewpoint of a converted church, a believing church, and we are looking out at a degenerating society, a degenerating world. But I wanted to especially consider this from a gospel perspective, from an evangelistic perspective. What does this text teach us, and how does this passage advise us with regard to the eternal state and the happiness of our souls? And as I'm sure you are all aware, the Bible has very much to say about all aspects of life. But most crucially, it gives us prescriptions, it gives us rules and commandments with regard to how souls can escape hell, how souls can secure heaven. And this is the most vital teaching and instruction which we are to get and which we are to find from the Bible. So we pray that this passage will be a help and a blessing to us. So we can consider next perishing as a storm on the sea, looking at perishing as a storm on the sea. And with regard to the eternal well-being of souls. When we think about all these changes happening in society, all the immorality, all the wokeness, all the unfaithfulness, all the unsuitable entertainment so-called, I ask the question, are there any here who are getting flooded by these things? Are these waves, these ideologies, are they crashing into the side of you? Are they crashing into the side of your family or of your in your workplace for many months and for many years? But now the waters are rising, the waters are getting into the vessel, and you find that you are taking in more of their thinking. You're taking in more of their ways, and though you do not fully agree and you do not agree with what they teach and what they promote, you do engage with them somewhat, and you enjoy their company, you enjoy the amusement somewhat. You can watch the same programs, you can see things from a similar perspective. And when or if someone says the God of the Bible forbids this, there is a bit of an aggrieved sullenness that these things are worthy of judgment and of destruction. Is any here being flooded by the moral decay and the social pressures from our Sodom and Gomorrah society all around us? Is your soul and your values and your character, earth before it was upright, it was following the way of the Lord, trying to follow the way of the Lord, but now it is being swept away. Are you sliding slowly? But steadily sliding into their pit of irreverence, their pit of blasphemy, their pit of foolishness, and shaking the fist at God? If so, then you need to appreciate that this is what is happening. There are these waves crashing into the vessel repeatedly, month after month, after such a long time. It is a violent storm. It is an unusually violent storm, a powerful storm, and someone like yourself, an experienced seaman, just like an experienced fisherman, just like the disciples, someone perhaps as street smart as yourself, these things overwhelm, these things overrun, these things breach, and they flood, and you are in trouble. You are in trouble. It is more than you can handle. The ship is starting to sink a little bit. And you need to cry out to God for help. You need to cry out to God Almighty for help. This state in which you are in, this sort of sliding, this sort of slow degeneration, it is something which is perishing you. It perishes you. And you need to cry out, just like the disciples, Master, Master, we perish. Or more, I perish. I perish. I am losing my way. I am getting deluged. I need help for my soul. This picture of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, it lets us see what's happening, the storm of ungodliness in our society all around us. Our reading gave us another picture of perishing, and this is the perishing of the demon possessed man, the demoniac, whom we read in Luke chapter 8 as well. And this pictures this person possessed by the legion of demons. This pictures or typifies a person with a strong besetting sin. A strong besetting sin. We understand, the Reformed understanding is that after the cross of Christ, demon activity and possession was greatly reduced and limited, and only those who really almost chase after these things can sort of engage with demons and with spirits. But what we take from this passage is a strong besetting sin. And what cruel slave masters, besetting sins and habitual sins are. I read verse 29 again from our reading. For Christ, he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes, the spirit, it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And in our pastoral work, we encounter even very young people with terrible besetting sins, terrible habitual sins. And then how about some of us who are a bit older? We look at them and we see them as babies. They're such babies. And as the text says, they are driven of the devil into the wilderness. Driven of the devil into a wilderness. What a terrible, what a cruel slave master besetting and habitual sins are. And us older ones, perhaps we have spent a long time unwisely ingraining into our characters bad habits and ungodly attitudes, ingraining these things into our minds. Perhaps pride, perhaps self-centeredness. And this is another picture of perishing, which we need to be rescued from. Another picture of perishing, we did not read this, but in the earlier part of Luke chapter 8, we have the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And we have a farmer going out to sow seed in his field. And the seed is of course a picture of the Word of God. And the Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of God for all human history and for all aspects and circumstances of life. God does speak to mankind through the creation. He does speak to mankind through our consciences, but he speaks to us plainly and directly through this glorious book. And all that he has to say to us is in this book. And it is the church's mission to get the Word of God, to get the Bible into every land, into every home, into every hand. But there is also a responsibility on individual men and women, individual human beings, to themselves, to go and seek for the truth, to go and look for revelation from the teaching of the true God. We are all obliged to seek for the truth about existence, about life, about heaven, and about hell. But strangely and very sadly, often, when people hear the Word of God and its teachings, they find it and they experience it as light which is too bright. It is too bright for their dark little lives. And so they reject it. And they despise it and they disregard it. They do not pay any heed to it. And just like the parable of the sower sowing his seeds, it is like a hardened path. A hardened footpath, and the seeds just bounce off the path, and they never set root. Others do try and take in the word somewhat. They take in the word a little bit, but just superficially, and in a shallow manner. It does not go too deep. It does not fully and totally affect all of their life, all of their thinking. And the Word of God, God's only, as it were, only message to mankind, is not allowed to dwell in the soul. But without the Word of God, the truths of God cannot be known. They cannot be accessed. And neither can the Spirit of God and the power of God be accessed as well. And ultimately the salvation of God and His mighty deliverance, His deliverance from our sin and the judgment which is due to them can neither be accessed and can neither be attained. So we perish. We perish without this word, this glorious word of God. And again, I pray that there is none who is in this case here this evening. We do not have time to think about other examples, other types and ways of perishing, but we perish also because we have sinful natures. Since the fall of our parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve, we have sinful natures, and those are constantly causing us to perish. Daily and weekly, they, as it were, spew forth things which cause us to perish. There is also perishing in spiritual blindness and ignorance. There is perishing in false religion. False religion, those who follow other religions, those who claim to be Christians but are not truly saved. There is perishing in that way as well. There is perishing with straight unbelief and lack of faith or refusal to have faith. And I've already gone through these things, but we might ask the question, or someone might belligerently ask the question, what's wrong? What's wrong with perishing? Say, but we've just detailed these things earlier. There are temporal consequences in this life. There are consequences to perishing. And then the eternal consequences are those which we fear all the most. And the doctrine of heaven and hell, the doctrines of heaven and hell, are amongst the most profound truths in the scriptures, that men and women will be divided on judgment day, some going to everlasting bliss and some going to eternal punishment. And there is an eternal perishing which is going to be given to rebellious and unbelieving souls. There is something very wrong, very grievous with perishing. More positively, how not to perish? How not to perish? And we come back to John 3:16, where we started, and it gives us graciously how we can avoid to not perish. There is, as it were, a choice. There is a choice. There is a way to decide how not to perish. For God, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Greek says, it's difficult to translate, but it says, perish never, or perish no way. That's how the Greek puts it. And this verse tells us that there is an opportunity to not perish just by believing. Just by believing, we escape perishing. How marvelous and how gracious is God! How He opens wide the gates of heaven for all and for any, for whosoever to come in, for any to attain to. But what is this belief? How do we come to believe? And I encourage you all to take time to listen to this divine word, to read it and to listen to it. God's Spirit must work in your heart. For God's Spirit must, and He works in and through this word. He works in and through this book, and He will bring the light of understanding, and He will cause the truths not just to be understood but to be felt and to be known. And then as you feel these things, you will cry out just like the disciples, Master, Master, I perish. And He will be very gracious to save you. I trust that you are aware that we cannot just approach God. He is holy. He is perfectly morally pure. He is spotless. And He's also 100% opposed to every occasion and every incident every existence of sin and of evil, and he must judge it, and he must destroy it whenever he encounters it. So how can a human being approach God? But God has provided the mediator, so we must approach him with and through the mediator, even the most wonderful mediator and savior. He has provided him for our needy souls. He was aware before he created all the world that our souls would be in great need of such a savior. And Christ has propitiated, he has turned away, he has absorbed and extinguished the judgment for the sins of those who will place their trust in him, for those who will believe in him. And then with him, you are able to approach even the holy God, even the thrice holy God, whom angels will cover their faces and they will not even look upon. But you are able to approach the holy God, and you are able to be heard favorably by him. Guilty sinners are able to be saved and to be delivered by him. This is the delivery. This is the rescuing which the Lord grants. And you will escape from both the temporal perishing and also the eternal perishing as well. And instead are given everlasting blessings and glorious things. Let us all cry out to this glorious mediator and savior, Master, Master, I perish. And he will be very willing to rise up and to deliver us from all these things. Let us close our thinking with our